to be in the worship service this morning. I want to say also it's good to have a number of visitors with us. We thank you for coming, and we hope that you'll continue to be with us every opportunity that you have. Again, God has blessed us as we've had to have service on the parking lot for a number of weeks. We've only had one Sunday morning when it was cool and raining. And so in spite of that, God has blessed us, and He continues to bless us each and every day. And so it's good to see each and every one of you. Get your Bibles out, follow along with me, and make sure that what you're hearing is in harmony with the Word of God. I want us to open our hymn books. We're not going to sing this hymn, but I want you to open your hymn book to hymn 157. And this will get our minds focused on the topic of the sermon this morning. Hymn 157 in your hymn book. Read these words with me. Notice what this hymn says. The title is At the Cross. The song says, Alas, indeed my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die. Would He devote that sacred head for such a one as I? Was it for crimes that I have done, He groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut His glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. Then the chorus, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. We have a lot to be thankful for in this life. We have a lot of ups and downs. There's no denying that. But so many things that we have that we ought to rejoice for. Especially the fact that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That make you rejoice? That God so loved you and He loved me and all others that He would send His Son into this life of sorrow and sin, who Jesus, of course, knew no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, but He walked among men and died upon the cross so that we could be saved. I want us to think about the title, At the Cross, and what that means for us. Some things that took place at the cross. You ever thought about that? The word cross is found 28 times in the Bible. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and in verse 2, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Lord's church at Corinth, said, But I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I think about what Paul stated to those of Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 14, when Paul said, But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. The world thinks that the cross is foolishness many times. And it's been that way at least since the first century, on down to this present time. And that's not guesswork, because Paul stated, as recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That the cross is foolishness to the Gentile, a stumbling block to the Jew, but to those that are saved, the power of God. And so I'm thankful for the cross, and I hope you are too. Let's notice some things briefly that took place at the cross. And the first one I want you to think about is the fact that God's love was demonstrated. Many times folks have an idea, a picture of God that God is just waiting for man to make a mistake that He might punish man. Oh, we need to understand both the goodness and the severity of God, of which Paul wrote about in the book of Romans. God is, yes, a vengeful God. He said, Vengeance is mine, I will recompense, saith the Lord. But God is also a loving God, a merciful God, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 and in verse 9. I quoted a portion a moment ago of John 3:16, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. Then I think about what John penned over in 1 John chapter 4 and then verse 9, when the Bible says very simply, in this was manifest the love of God toward us. How was it made known? That's what the word manifest means, to be revealed, to be made known. He says, in this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. At the cross, God's love is demonstrated for all of mankind. Jesus tasted death, not just for you, not just for me, but for everybody. Hebrews chapter 2 and in verse 9. But also we're taught in the Bible that at the cross, Christ's obedience was demonstrated. Do you think about how obedient the Lord was? He came to do the Lord's or the Father's will. He said the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19, verse 10. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work, the Lord said. John 4 and in verse 34 and 35. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, I hope you have your Bibles out, that you're following along with me. Don't take my word for it. Take what God says as revealed in the Bible. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, and being found, he's talking about Jesus, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So I'm suggesting to you a very simple fundamental fact, that at the cross, Christ's obedience was demonstrated. Jesus said, I have finished the work which you gave me to do, John 17:4, and no doubt in agony, in pain of which we can never fathom, the Lord said as He was suspended on the cross before heaven and earth, it is finished, John 19 and in verse 30. And so at the cross, Christ's obedience was demonstrated. But also at the cross, Jesus was bruised for our iniquities. Did you know that? Someone says, I wasn't there. I had nothing to do with it. I had nothing to do whatsoever with the fact that Jesus died on the cross. All of us have something to do with it, because it was in God's eternal purpose that Jesus would die on the cross for the sins of the world, including each and every one of us here today, and even those who are not among our number. Turn with me to Isaiah 53, a messianic chapter in the Old Testament. A short chapter, but one that has so much meaning as we think about what Jesus did. In verse 3 beginning, the Bible says, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. Someone says, I had nothing to do with it. Read that text again. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And come down to verse 10 with me. He says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. At the cross, Jesus was bruised for our iniquities. And in the New Testament, as Peter wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. Who his own self bare our sins. You see, someone may say, well, Isaiah 53 was written then, not to us. Well, come to the New Testament. Notice what Peter writes. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. We just read that, Isaiah 53. Verse 25, for ye were as sheep gone astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened, that is, being made alive by the Spirit. Jesus, who knew no sin, who knew no sin, died on the cross, bruised for our iniquities. He died that we might live. But also, when you think about at the cross, such a very simple statement, such a profound thought as we think about all that is involved in the cross. At the cross, are you listening to me? The Old Testament law was taken away. We're told in the book of Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances which was contrary against us, took it out of the way, he's talking about the Old Testament law of Moses, took it out of the way, nailing it, where at? To his cross. And so at the cross, the Old Testament law was taken away. We're not under the Old Testament law of Moses that was given to the Jews. Separated the Jews were from all people. And God made a covenant with them, gave them a law. Till the seed should come, Galatians 3:19. And the seed was Christ, Galatians 3 and then verse 16. So we're not under the Old Testament law of Moses. Someone says, well, preacher, are you suggesting that we're not under any law today at all? Not at all am I saying that. Because we are under the New Testament law of Christ, Galatians 6:2, a perfect law of liberty, James chapter 1 and in verse 27. In the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verses 14 and 15, Hebrews 9, 14 and 15. The Bible says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, and you think about what was accomplished by the blood of Christ, there's a number of points you could study from the Bible. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot unto God, purge your conscience from dead works, to serve the living God. For this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament. Not the Old Testament. The Bible contrasts in the book of Hebrews between the Old and the New Testament. The first law and the second law. He is the mediator of the New Testament by means of death. That by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament. They which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. Jesus is a mediator of the New Testament, the testator of it. Now watch verse 17. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. So Jesus brought forth a New Testament which we live under today, the New Testament law of Christ. At the cross, the Old Testament law was taken away. I also want you to think with me about the fact that at the cross, Jew and Gentile were reconciled. To be reconciled means to be brought together. They were reconciled unto God in one body. When Paul was writing to the church of Christ at Ephesus, he stated in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. Ephesians 2, 13 through 16. But now in Christ, another good study in Christ. But now in Christ, ye who sometimes were far off, that'll be the Gentiles, are made nigh or near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, that is both Jew and Gentile, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. That which used to divide Jew and Gentile is taken down by the body of Christ, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that's in reference to the Old Testament law of Moses, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Now watch verse 16. Watch where the reconciling takes place. And that he might reconcile both unto God. Now watch this. In one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Both Jew and Gentile reconciled at the cross by the body of Christ into one body that is the church, Ephesians 1, Colossians 1. And so in the church of Christ, doesn't matter what your background is, doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, doesn't matter if you're old or young or healthy or sick, poor or rich, black or white, male or female, all stand on level ground at the foot of the cross. That's made possible by our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says in Galatians 3, 26 through 28, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female, bond or free, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, verse 29, then are ye Abraham's seed, and theirs according to the promise. At the cross, Jew and Gentile were reconciled. Also, at the cross, the purchase price was paid. Now, some folks in the religious world today think that because Jesus shed his blood, there's nothing left for you or me to do. He did it all, therefore you're released from any responsibility whatsoever. The Bible does not teach that. Jesus did do everything, making our salvation possible. God did his part. Jesus did his part. The Holy Spirit did his part. But we've got to do our part. But at the cross, Jesus paid the purchase price. In Ephesians, or 1 Corinthians 6 and in verse 20, Paul makes a lot of statements about the body, about the church. Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians 6 and in verse 20. He's writing to Christians and he says, for you are bought with a price. Did you know you're bought with a price? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You're not your own. Neither am I. You've obeyed the gospel. You belong to the Lord. He made that possible. What was that price? In Acts chapter 20 and in verse 28, the Bible says, take heed therefore unto yourselves. He's talking about a group of elders. He says, take heed unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church. Are you a member of the church, the body of Christ? To feed the church of God which he has purchased with what? With his own blood. At the cross, the purchase price was paid. One last point. At the cross, salvation is made possible. Again, I take you back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, we read a moment ago. Just want to kindly remind you about it, Isaiah 53, and then verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Now watch this. And with his stripes, we are healed. When you think about what Jesus went through, I know we can't fathom it. Can't even begin to imagine the cruelty, the anguish that he experienced, that he went through. Those lashes, the nails, the ridicule, the mock, the crown of thorns. But by his stripes, we are healed. Jesus said in Matthew 26, 28, take this cup, drink it. We remember the Lord's death a moment ago and partaking of the bread and the fruit of the vine. Take it, drink this cup, for it is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Why, Lord? Why are you going to shed your blood? For the remission of sins. And indeed, he did that. For without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sins, Hebrews 10:22. And he shed it for your remission and for mine, making it possible. So I ask you, have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? It's a beautiful day of life. As we think about at the cross, he died for you and for me and for all others. Have you obeyed him? Such a simple thing to require of man. He died. And God expects us to obey him. Someone may be in our assembly listening to the sermon. They may say, "Preacher, I want to become a Christian. I want to obey. How do I do that?" It's simple. You do what they did in the Bible to become a Christian. Hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17, believing it. John 8:24, repenting of your sins. Acts 3:19, confessing your faith in Christ that he is the Son of God. Acts 8:36 and 37, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. We stand ready to help you do that. Don't delay. Don't spurn the invitation. Should you be in our midst, having done that in the past, but you're not being faithful, you left the Father and you went out into the world of sin again, but you realize that and you want to come home. You want to be restored. Repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession unto God in prayer as we're instructed in Acts 8, 1 John 1. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.